Hey, Stephen, have you ever taken your family to get portraits done? Like old school Macy's style?
No. And maybe it's 'cause I'm pretty cool. But I know a bunch of photographer friends. So like when we've had family photos made, it's like a friend of mine who has a photography business and we go out and she takes photos of the family. But I did have a memory come up when watching this episode. When I was probably five or six, my family did this. We all went to some place in the mall and had our, family photo, portrait thing taken. And I had like totally forgotten about it. I've seen the photo, right? My mom actually has a copy of the photo of me and my younger brother from this day. But I totally remembered like going into this like store in the mall and they had a bunch of different backdrops and my parents picked one and we took photos.
Yeah, our church used to do them. So we have like a couple family portraits from church, but I was young and yeah, definitely have had this done, but not recently. It is not a normal thing these days.
I think it's just fallen out of style as photography has become more mainstream, I guess, or like, I don't know.
Just more dynamic. Photography is so much more interesting
That's true. Is it pick your color gradient, right? It's so much more now.
now. I know. I do miss the laser backgrounds though. The school photos were
Yes.
always awesome.
That's true.
So, we are talking about the episode Free Family Portrait Studio, which is season 8, episode 24. It is the season finale episode, and it was written and directed by BJ Novak.
Yeah, we are at the end of season 8. It's hard to believe. I feel like we just started season 8, but here we are at the end. And let's save to the end of this episode, I think, what we think about the season overall. But I like this episode. I think it does a pretty good job of wrapping up some of the stuff that kind of opened in season 8. But obviously, like, it also opens the door to a lot of things that are going to come up. A lot of plot points really move forward in big ways. And yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a much busier episode than I remember. There are a
Yeah.
lot of like little threads that are getting tied off here, and we're following a bunch of different storylines. When I started my notes, I was being like, okay, the A plot is the Dwight's portraits, but not really.
Not
That's
really.
not the A plot. Like, I think the Andy plot is the A plot, and then maybe the Dwight portrait is the B plot, but then we also have something going on with Daryl. Like, there's a bunch happening here.
Yeah, I struggled in my notes kind of figuring out what was A, B, and I think Daryl is definitely like C plot. But maybe let's start with the photo day stuff and then we can.
Well, I think we should start with the cold open.
Oh, we should start. I'm just so excited about getting in. Yeah, Oscar's a vlogger, guys. He's talking to his camera. He's putting good words into the world.
Hello, my name's Oscar. I'm an accountant in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and I'm gay. And I'm here to tell you that yes, it does get better. When I was
What?
younger,
What's he doing?
He's searching out younger gays.
No, it's just a way to tell young people no matter how hard it gets for them, there's a brighter future ahead.
Yeah, I was reading actually the notes about this episode. There is a project called the It Gets Better Project. And so I think Oscar's recording a video for this specific thing at the time. And it gets off the rails very quickly, as things tend to do in the office. But I really actually like where it goes, because Robert California kind of takes over and he addresses sexuality as a spectrum. And I'm like, wow, that was really ahead of its time. I kind of love that.
Being gay is a celebration of life. It's a simple.
I'm sorry. I just can't sit idly by and have the gay youth of America misled by some
Not
reductionist
misleading.
pep talk. Sexuality is a spectrum. It's a paradox to think of any sexual activity as normal. It gets better, but it also gets vastly more
Hey,
complicated.
Robert.
Yeah, it is funny as people notice Oscar doing this. Like, oh, what is he doing? Who is he talking to? Kelly walks up and uses the webcam as a mirror because webcams are what make her look the way she looks in her fantasy.
Kelly, seriously, I
Just keep chatting. I'm just taking my makeup on your webcam.
Do you not own a mirror?
Webcams make me look the way I look in my fantasies.
I know, right? What is it? You always look so good in those things.
I'm throwing it on my mirrors.
It has that nice softening effect.
It does, yeah. I did think, man, he has a really wide-angle webcam because, you know, most of the time I'm a computer nerd for a living. So I was like, oh, I wonder what webcam he was using in 2012 or whatever. But yeah, Oscar doesn't get to really say what he wants to say.
What I found strange about this cold open is that we do have that new perspective of the webcam. Like you said, it's really wide, but it's also very clear like the rest of the show. So I almost feel like if the show, the mockumentary style, is taking the footage that Oscar had recorded, we should have seen kind of like a grainier webcam style footage.
Right.
Right, exactly. Like, where is this coming from? Is the camera filming at the same time as his webcam? Like, they set up behind his computer. It really stood out to me as a very different camera view that we have never gotten before. And I'm glad that it was only part of the cold open, that we didn't have it, you know, anywhere else, mm-hmm. but it definitely stood out.
There's a funny bit in here. As Robert California tries to like back away from the camera, he runs into Kevin. Like the back of Robert's head like hits Kevin's nose. It's kind of a bit of physical humor.
Oh, damn it! God! You okay, Robert?
Fine.
Put some ice on it.
Yeah, that's where it like totally degrades. Everyone's in the background. Some people are getting hurt. Like it just, it becomes absolute chaos. And Oscar just shakes his head and says it's going to get better.
Yeah, it'll get better.
So yeah, the main part of this episode, we have Dwight setting up a portrait studio and Jim is super suspicious.
Last week, I may have gone too far. I'll explain it quickly. Basically, I found out where he gets his clothes dry clean, custom ordered the same suit made with tearaway Velcro, and you can fill in the rest. Now he's trying to get me to bring my children into work. I think it's fair to be cautious.
I am glad that we get B-roll of the Velcro suit, though, because it is so good.
Jim is suspicious that this is kind of a retaliation and he does not want his family involved. And so he's looking for traps at every single turn.
This really reminded me of the scene where the snowmen are all set up in the parking lot. And yes. He's very carefully and gingerly like walking around with fear in his eyes. There's a lot of that sort of energy in Jim today, especially as Pam does bring the kids in. And he's like, looking up at the ceiling. Like, he won't look at the camera because he's trying to look everywhere else to see where the attack is going to come from.
Family picture!
Pam! No!
What? Honey, we talked about this.
No, we talked about not bringing them in to Dwight's photo studio / trap.
Yes, and then we decided that was crazy.
No, we decided it was crazy not to worry about it.
No, we settled in a much more rational place, remember?
Nope.
We decided that there's no way Dwight would harm a child.
But are you 100% sure? I don't think any of us are.
No. No.
Nope.
But it's free, and we'll keep our eye on them. And we will make sure that Dwight doesn't do anything C-R-A-Z-Y.
A bunch of other people are going to take advantage of photo day. So we have Kelly and Ravi taking photos as Ryan watches. And we then, throughout the episode, we get a couple other shots of Ryan taking photos holding posters that say various things.
It's very Love Actually.
Yeah, the first one is, Kelly, I know you are with someone, but I love you. I will wait forever. Ryan has very nice handwriting, assuming that he did these.
He does. It's very clear. And then he also holds up one later on the episode with a misconnection, mm-hmm. which I find that really funny.
Yeah. Misconnection, caffeine corner. You were blonde with a hat. I work at Dunder Mifflin. I hope to see you again. That's my misconnection voice.
That's nice. I like that. You should read those, you know, professionally.
I should. Go start up a cameo.
So we get to see a lot of clips of everyone's families. We have Creed and his very old parents showing up.
Did you notice what Creed is sitting on?
Oh, yeah. He's sitting on like a big like school block like he's a little boy.
Like it's his kindergarten photo.
We see Meredith with her son, who is donning a face tattoo, just like it was stated in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. We also see Toby's daughter. She's gotten very, very tall.
Yeah, I feel like Sasha's done more growing up than the other kids, but That's okay. That's how it works.
Yeah, Jada is still about the same.
Yeah.
She hasn't changed very much, but we have seen her much more recently. I think the last time we saw Sasha was like Bring Your Daughter to Work Day.
I think it's the only other time we see her.
Right. Is that like the first season? So I guess if you're talking about like maybe she was 7 or 8 at that time, then this is, you know, what, 6 years later? So yeah, she would be a teenager. Some teenagers are very tall.
Angela gets a surprise when the state senator comes in with baby Philip. Angela clearly does not want him there.
Hello, everybody.
What? Why? Hi, honey. What? How are you doing?
You know, my office got a call that they were shooting family portraits right here.
We learn from a confessional from Angela that she thinks Dwight has set this whole thing up to get a sample of Philip's DNA to prove that he's the father. And there's this great line, and I love the delivery because she knows the camera crew knows it's a lie, but she says it anyways.
Which is impossible because the senator is the only man I've ever been with.
The execution of this line delivery is flawless.
And it turns out that Dwight really is after the DNA, very obviously. Like, there is absolutely no denying that that's exactly what he's doing. He keeps mentioning, oh, let me check the baby's hair. Oh, those fingernails are bothering me. Oh, let me swab the inside of the baby's cheek.
Are those excess skin cells in the baby's cheek distracting to you as well?
Dwight, we're fine.
So babies are going to do what babies are going to do, right? And he needs a diaper change. So the senator is going to take him to go change his diaper. And this is the moment for Dwight. And we get this shot a little bit later of Dwight with the diaper in a baggie under his arm. And he sort of, he does this thing where you're not running, but you're walking kind of quickly. It's very, and he like goes out the door. And then a split second later, we see Angela yelling after him, taking off like full speed after him. And so Dwight, I guess, now has what he needs to prove paternity. And Angela does not want Dwight to go through with this.
Yeah, this ends up becoming a dirty diaper car chase, which I think is fantastic. And apparently Angela and Michael Schur, who plays Mose, did their own stunt driving for this episode.
That's awesome.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's this great moment. Like, Dwight's on the phone with Mose, and like Operation Phoenix is on, and Operation Phoenix is a dummy car, and they stage it in such a way where Angela ends up following Mose while Dwight can get away to the... Later, it looks like he's in a hospital waiting room, but wherever this testing is taking place. And Angela then catches Mose and then hits Mose a bunch, and Mose tries to run away. Poor Mose. Poor Mose.
No! God! Mose! God!
Hi, Angela.
Get out of the car! Get out! Where is he? Where is he?
I'm not supposed to say...
Yes! Tell me! Tell me where he is! Damn it! Where did he go? Mose!
He's dressed up as Dwight, which is so funny. I love that. I love that look for him. And apparently the slap was real, and Michael Schur got kind of hurt.
She smoked him.
She did. Apparently, like, he got slapped, was surprised by the force, and then hit his head on the car. And yeah, so much for doing their own stunts, but you know, they made it look really real. Because it was. So I guess we should finish this up, because while Angela eventually catches up to Dwight where he has brought the diaper and she goes into the waiting room, Dwight says it's going to take 72 hours and she ends up sitting next to him and waiting, and she takes his hand. Dwight takes this as a invitation and starts trying to make out with her. Mm-hmm. She resists at first, but then they end up making out in the waiting room of this DNA testing center.
Yeah, a real... throwback to an earlier season finale where Phyllis discovers them.
I guess I also want to connect this part at this point to Robert Lipton, like back with the senator. Mm-hmm. And as the senator is leaving the office, Oscar is down in the cafe, Hank's cafe. And the senator confronts Oscar about not calling.
Yeah.
Hey,
Senator Lipton. Hey, how are you?
You didn't call.
Well, the issue that concerned me.
You know what this is about.
we see now that his intentions are to have Oscar call him in a courtly way.
Yeah, he like covers baby Philip's eyes. He's like, you know what this is about. Like, okay.
Yep. So Oscar is right.
Oscar is right.
So I like that we have the two sides of, we have Angela and Dwight making out in this like other DNA place, and we have Robert hitting on Oscar. It's obviously these two should not be together. They are both, you know, on their own paths.
They certainly are. That's one way to sum up their marriage at this point.
Yeah. But I mean, I gotta say, Lipton seems like a really good father. He's very attentive to the baby. He like brought him to the photo shoot and changed his diaper. Like, I was pretty impressed at his fatherly skills and his daddy skills.
Oh. Whoa. Whoa. Let's check in with Daryl. Daryl has a couple of things going on in this episode.
Yeah, speaking of some more courtship.
Yeah, absolutely. He is being courted by his former employees. Because you remember a while back, there's also some Val stuff, we'll get to that. But a while back, the warehouse all won the lottery. That's why Val gets hired, right? Because he has to replace the entire crew. And it turns out that a couple of them have come back because they had made this investment in an energy drink and it didn't really pan out and they need jobs.
Let me get this straight. You lost all of it. All your winnings. $150,000.
But economy. But investment.
You mean to tell me no one wanted an energy drink for Asian homosexuals?
They did not.
And you got $500,000 of these?
When we talk about sayings from The Office that we bring back and use in our homes and our everyday life, this is probably the number one that we use in our house. And so they are trying out this energy drink. Daryl takes a taste of it, and he is taken aback by the flavor.
Well, I gotta try it.
I wouldn't.
Oh, come on, what's the harm? Flavor of that
coconut penis.
The coconut is pretty subtle.
Hiday says that the flavor is coconut penis, which is so funny. And Daryl says the coconut is pretty subtle. This is something that we say all the time. Anytime something is like off in flavor or anything that is coconut scented or anything like that, we always say in our house, the coconut's pretty subtle. And it's just, it's so funny because it's like has this wonderful, like, subtle implicate, like if you don't know what the flavor was, you have no idea what anyone's talking about, but it's just one of those like great fantastic little inside joke phrases that you can use, and we certainly use it all the time. I don't know if you use this one in your house, Steven.
It doesn't get a lot of use.
It gets a lot of traction over here.
Later on, Robert California is drinking one and he says that he prefers original. Why do they have to add the coconut?
I love the double down on that joke. It's so good.
It is.
They only had to say it once, and it sails throughout the rest of this episode. Mm-hmm. And it sails in my heart.
Why'd they add coconut? I miss original.
So Daryl's going to take the guys downstairs and talk with Val. And Brandon is there. We saw him earlier cut through the office. And he is down there hanging out with Val. Remember, Brandon is Val's boyfriend. We saw in a previous episode that he was in the office because people were staying late. And Andy had Brandon, who owns his own restaurant, come in and cater dinner. And that's when they had their confrontation about their text, you know, dot, 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 dot. And Brandon's still spicy about all of this and confronts Daryl for complimenting Val on her job.
And the new foreman is here. Now, she's one of the best we've ever known, okay? So I need you to show her your utmost respect. Make sure that she feels welcome and at home. Okay, can you do that?
That's some pretty blatant compliment you're doing there, man.
I don't even talk to her like that.
Oh, Brandon?
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're trying to hit on my girlfriend.
Hey, calm down. He's not.
Yes, I am. Just so everyone's on the same page.
Whew. Awkward city.
The thing that stands out to me about this confrontation is that Brandon gets on Daryl's case because Daryl was just actually saying that, you know, Val is a really good warehouse manager and that, you know, she should be respected because he's bringing in these, you know, two guys who used to work in the warehouse and he is lifting up his, you know, person that's in charge. And yes, it is like very, I don't even want to say blatant, but it's pretty benign as a compliment goes. Like, it's staying on the professional level. And Brandon is the one that takes it and escalates it. Yeah, you know,
definitely.
He says something like real gross about like, I don't even talk to her like that. And it's like he was just complimenting like the way she performs her job and that she deserves respect. Like, that seems like a very, like a good thing to say, especially when you are, you know, introducing someone to new employees. And that's where it turns. And when Daryl stands up for how he feels and says like, yeah, I am hitting on her. Like, yes, my compliments are very professional, but I do have these other intentions. Mm-hmm. I kind of respect Daryl for being really honest about that.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that Brandon's extremely jealous and we're seeing Val like being embarrassed by Brandon's reaction, not by Daryl's.
Yeah, she, I think, is pretty mortified. Same as she was in that previous episode, honestly. I mean, in the previous episode, when they have this confrontation, she's trying to get Brandon to back down. And yeah, you're totally right. He's the one who turns up the heat. I mean, he insults Daryl about his weight a couple of times. It's just really pretty immature of Brandon. And I get like, yeah, I mean, someone is like hitting on your partner. That's obviously a situation most people would find uncomfortable or distasteful. But Brandon doesn't handle it like an adult should, I don't think.
Yeah, his reaction isn't attractive. And I think that that's kind of the reason that we come to the conclusion when we are back up in the office after this confrontation happens. And Daryl is up there taking a family portrait with Jada, and Val shows up at the door and she's watching this portrait get taken. Daryl invites her into the room to stand in for the portrait, and Val accepts the invitation. She goes into the picture, she stands next to Daryl, and she grabs his hand. And this is very much indicating that she just got rid of Brandon, for sure.
Yeah, and I like the symmetry of this with Angela and Dwight, where she holds Dwight's hand. Obviously, their backgrounds and history are all very differently. But there's some nice symmetry in the way these two stories kind of wrap up in this episode. And, you know, we don't see her break it off with Brandon, but it's very clear, like you said, that's what's happened. I imagine this exchange between them in the warehouse was kind of the last straw for her.
This kind of brings us to our main plot, I think, which is Andy is back at the office. Surprise, surprise, because he has never really left. But He's there in like some dirty coveralls and like a stubbly face, dirty hair. He's putting on quite the show and he is trying to convince everyone that he is just a hot mess. But it's really for some elaborate reveal payoff about his dealings with David Wallace.
I have a delicious secret.
Yeah, we know that they met, right? But no one else at Dunder Mifflin does.
Except for Aaron.
Except for Aaron, who then questions it later on in a very funny scene. But yeah, he's just trying to set this up to have his sweet moment, you know, his moment of victory over Robert California. But he takes it way too far. I mean, you mentioned his outfit and his appearance. But there's also a shot later on where he's in the men's room and he's like putting booze on his hand to like put it on his neck, and he like swishes around his mouth and spits it out so he smells like he's drunk. And then he spills soup all over himself. Like Aaron kind of pulls him aside, like, people are going to remember this, right? Like, you've got to calibrate this a little bit. And he cranks it to 11.
I know this is going to be a great payoff.
A delicious moment.
But after your manager, some of these images are going to be hard to shake.
Well, but if
just calibrate. Okay, calibrate.
Actually, you bring up Aaron at this point because I was like, this is a very different Erin. Like, she's using the word calibrate. That stood out to me. I don't know if since going down to Florida, she's matured a bit or possibly. We've been seeing that kind of development for this character a little bit more and more. Like, she's taken away from the infantile ditziness that she had. And she's kind of... she's maturing. She's, like, finding her place. But this was... it seemed a little out of character for her to be so astute. And, well, maybe not the astuteness is out of character, but her vocabulary certainly was.
You know what? I thought the same thing, actually. And then I felt bad about thinking it, so.
I mean, maybe she's been, you know, doing better because she has a word a day calendar. She's been working hard. I shouldn't judge.
So some people are going to hold an intervention for Andy. Toby's leading it. Nellie's in there. Jim and Pam are in there.
Andy, we wanted to talk to you. A lot of us are very concerned about you.
You're dirty. You stink of booze. You're limping inexplicably.
I just want you guys not to worry, because old Andy's going to be just fine.
No. See, this is what we're talking about. I mean, what was that accent? And last time I checked, you were drunk, and now you're not drunk.
It continues to spiral a little bit. Aaron says, you know, yeah, he's been a nightmare. He's been taking it out on me.
No, unfortunately, it's true. He's been a nightmare. And the worst part is he's been taking it out on me.
You hit her?
What?
No, that is not the deal. Calibrate.
It's just, it's not going well. Mm-hmm. This ruse is not as refined as the two of them would think it was.
No. And there's a knock on the door. And of course, Andy's like, oh, it must be David Wallace. Hey, you're going to really enjoy this guest. And it's Gabe holding a tiny cupcake saying happy birthday to himself. He assumed this was a birthday party for him.
Happy birthday to Gabe.
Oh, get out, skeleton man.
And I think that this might be like the very last time we see Gabe also was like this really sad birthday rejection.
Poor Gabe. No one likes him. No one likes you, Gabe. But Andy is insistent that things aren't as bad as they seem. And he gets a phone call. So he goes out. He like ducks below Pam's desk to take this phone call. And we know it's David Wallace, but they don't. And it sounds like he's stuck in traffic. He can't make it up there. He's just going to come up next week. And Andy's sort of forced into a corner where he has to make the announcement without David Wallace. And everyone is stunned, but not in the way that Andy was hoping for. They all think that he's actually lost his marbles.
Well, this is not going to be quite as delicious as I wanted, but I do have a very tasty announcement for you guys. Not only am I not a lowly janitor, I am the regional manager once again. Guys, I got my old job back.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Andy.
I'm not crazy. I convinced David Wallace to give me my job back.
David Wallace hasn't worked here in years.
Okay, yes, I see the confusion. I saw David at the fundraiser. He is now a multimillionaire because he sold his toy vacuum, Suck It, to the U.S. military.
Andy, come on.
Even I know that's crazy. Okay, I get how that sounds crazy.
Andy, nobody's calling you crazy, Andy. We're your friends, Andy.
Stop saying my name.
Aaron tries to stand up for Andy and say like, oh yeah, he's totally been talking to David Wallace. But it turns out we find out that Aaron has never actually even seen David Wallace. Mm-hmm. So she even starts questioning Andy's sanity here.
No, he's not making this up.
Thank you, Aaron.
Andy tells me about seeing David Wallace all the time.
But have you ever actually seen him yourself?
Oh, my God. Wait.
Aaron, come on. You know I've been talking to David Wallace.
Do you see David Wallace in the room right now?
Andy is extremely frustrated that no one is giving him this like sweet payoff revenge moment that he's been dreaming of. And it's going really bad for Andy.
But then David does come in. So Andy is there mopping the carpet, which freaks me out a lot. Don't mop carpet.
This carpet's overdue for a good mopping.
Is a mop the most efficient tool to use on a carpet?
Yeah, it is actually.
And as David is trying to announce the news, Andy just keeps stepping all over the announcement. Andy wants it to be about his reinstatement and not about the company. Like, not only David has buying Dunder Mifflin, but David also announces that the rest of Sabre is going to be liquidated by Joe Bennett, and he can't hardly get it out for Andy interrupting him.
David, what are you doing here?
Is it true you're buying the company?
Okay, I guess the word is out. Please keep this a secret. But yes, I've been talking with Andy.
What? Thought I heard my name. What? I'm the new manager?
I'll get to that in a second, Andy.
But it is me, right?
Yes, that's as we've discussed.
What?
But it's very
possible. Oh, my God.
Probably.
Wow, from janitor to manager?
Yep.
It's quite a Cinderella story. From MOP to MVP.
There's an official announcement, a few details.
From total loss to total boss. I mean,
can we expect any payroll interruptions?
Now, that is a great question.
Andy still doesn't get his moment. Even now that David Wallace is here confirming everything, everyone is shocked to see him. But no one even really cares about Andy's transition. They are so focused on receiving the news that David Wallace has in addition to all of this. Like, they really just want to know what it means for them. I mean, we have Stanley asking a question like, will this interrupt payroll? Like, how does this affect us? And no one cares that Andy is going to be manager again. David brushes him off every time he brings it up. He's like, yes, of course, he'll be manager. It's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And we get this crazy moment where Robert California steps out of the conference room and announces that actually, he's the CEO. And this is kind of terrible news. I mean, David was even saying that, you know, please let's keep this hush hush. We haven't like announced it yet, but we have Robert California overhearing, and he introduces himself to David Wallace as Bob Kazimakis.
Actually, nothing is going to be a part of Sabre anymore. Joe Bennett's planning on liquidating the rest of the company.
Oof.
Wouldn't want to be a Sabre employee right about now. I'm actually the CEO.
I didn't realize you were staying.
My friend, trust me, this is for the best. I never understood that corporate mess.
Well, okay. Well, great to meet you.
Likewise, I'm Bob Kazimakis.
Pleasure.
And Jim has this look of like, wait, like big old WTF moment. It's great. It's great that we hear this. It's great that Robert like comes clean about his identity in this moment.
Especially because we just learned from the last episode that, you know, you don't even know my real name.
Yeah.
And I guess this is his real name.
I guess so. I mean, it could be or could not be. We don't really know, I guess.
I mean, Creed has like 1,000 different names.
That's true.
So.
Robert, though, I think Robert does it because he knows that David...
You mean Bob.
Yes,
Bob does it.
I guess...
So not a Bob.
I guess he does it because he knows David holds all the cards here, right? Like, mm-hmm. Robert's the CEO of this company that Joe Bennett, who is still his boss, I guess she's chairman of the board, she has sold the business out from under him, right? And very clearly he no longer has a future. And so maybe this is him like being as honest with David Wallace as he can be, and the sign of that is his real name. I found the switch very interesting.
I think we really see the keen business sense, or at least the manipulation that Robert California has, and that like he immediately switches gear. He is going to now leverage this new like position or lack of position into something that's going to benefit him. So he says his real name, shocks everyone in the office, shakes David Wallace's hand, and immediately invites him to like a private conversation. And we know that Robert California is just going to talk some circles around David Wallace. And we do find out that, yeah, once they come out of that conference room, he's kind of, I don't want want to say swindled, but like convinced him of matching a, you know, $1 million donation so he can go and seek out some uneducated gymnast girls all throughout the world. This is like the creepiest California moment. Oh, sorry. The creepiest Casamacas moment that we have ever had. I will completely admit that. But the overarching idea of him just being able to like move his life into like whatever he is feeling at the time, I think that that is totally within character.
And we get shots of a bunch of different people in the office all realizing the same thing, that wow, this is really gross and creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're happy to see Robert move on. He is getting probably a big payout from Saber ending, like either a severance package or, you know, he might have had some stock in the company. We know that Robert California / Bob Casamacas is going to be just fine in the future.
Yeah.
Creepy as ever, but off he goes into the sunset.
Well, right after giving Andy a big old kiss on the lips.
Oh, yeah, we can't forget that. I mean, sexuality is so fluid. So, yeah, I love that he ends it with kissing Andy.
It's been a great year.
I've loved our year with Robert California, with James Spader. I think that this is a very fitting ending as he, you know, kisses Andy goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Robert California.
And also goodbye, Gabe. So, yeah, Gabe is out now. Robert California is gone. We have Andy back as manager. I think that brings us to the end of the episode. We have Dwight and Angela hooking up again. We have a potential senator and Oscar going to be hooking up. We have Val and Daryl together. The amount of things that have changed and shifted in this episode is outstanding. Oh, we also have to mention before we completely close out that Andy hires Nellie. That she doesn't get completely fired and kicked out. We will still have a Nellie Bertram in the office. She is going to be head of special projects. She just gets to go around doing whatever she wants.
Yeah, no one tells her what to do.
That's kind of what she was doing under Joe Bennett anyway, down in Florida. So it makes sense.
So yeah, Andy ultimately gets what he wants. I don't think he gets it the way that he wanted. Because even after he hires Nellie back, he has this talking head. Is like, that's one thing to go my way. But he is back in charge, and that's kind of wrapping up a lot of stuff. I mean, really, this episode wraps up a lot of stuff with Daryl and Val. It wraps up a lot of Andy's stuff, and really, like, Dunder Mifflin and Saber, which started two seasons previous, just about, wrapping that up as well. And I think it does a pretty good job at sort of closing some of that stuff, but also, you know, we don't know what's going on. I think the biggest thing it leaves open is we don't know what's going on with Philip and Dwight and Angela. And I like that we don't find out. I think that's sort of what they're leaving us with for the next season. And yeah, it's not as impactful as some of the previous season cliffhangers, but it totally works for me.
Yeah, we have a quick visual of Nate taking down the Saber sign off of the Dunder Mifflin sign. I think that that's a nice touch. So, but yeah, so that's the end of season 8 as we move on to the final season.
Wow. You know, season 8's definitely not the strongest of this series. I think a lot of people would actually say it's the worst season of The Office. But in rewatching it, there have really been a lot more episodes that I've enjoyed than I think I thought there were, because I haven't seen like season 7, 8, 9 in quite a while. And when I joined the show, I knew this was coming up, so I purposely didn't rewatch them, just casually on my own time, wanting to approach them semi-fresh, having not seen them in several years. And I really think there's a lot of good stuff in this season. Yeah, overall, it's not as good as some of the previous seasons, but I still think there's a lot here that's enjoyable and funny and heartwarming. And it may not be the best season of The Office, but it's not the total train wreck that some people would have you believe.
So we will be back talking about the first episode of season 9, episode 1, called New Guys. So thank you for listening, and be sure to go and follow us over at tall_beats. You can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year, access to our members only bonus feed, and join us in the conference room, our members only Slack. And we put out special shows for our members, so be sure and go and become a member and check some of those out. All right, Steven, until next time, I actually have a investment opportunity for you. I've come up with a new flavor of energy drink.
Okay. What is it?
Oh, no. I wasn't expecting you to ask me what it was. Whatever it is, it's pretty subtle.
Okay, that's good. Leave the coconut out this time.